Chapter 25. The team in documents used the same laptop they'd used to write the last letter to Ricky. This letter was composed by DeVille himself and approved by Mr. Maynard. It read, Dear Ricky, good news about your release to the halfway house in Baltimore. Give me a few days, and I think I'll have a full-time job lined up for you there. It's a clerical position. Not a lot of money, but a pretty good place to start. I suggest we go a bit slower than you want. Maybe a nice lunch at first. Then we'll see where things go. I'm not the type to rush in. Hope you're doing well. I'll write to you next week with the details of the job. Hang in there. Best wishes, Al. Only the Al was handwritten. A DC postmark was applied, and the letter was flown and hand-delivered to Klockner in Neptune Beach. Trevor happened to be in Fort Lauderdale, oddly enough tending to legitimate legal business, and so the letter sat in the Aladdin North box for 2 days. When he returned, exhausted, he stopped by his office just long enough to commence a nasty argument with Jan, then stormed out, got back in his car, and went straight to the post office. To his delight, the box was full. He sorted out the junk mail, then drove a half mile to the Atlantic Beach post office and checked the box for Laurel Ridge, Percy's fancy rehab spa. Once all the mail was collected, and much to the dismay of Klockner, Trevor left for Trumbull. He made one call en route to his bookie. He'd lost $2,500 in 3 days on hockey, a sport Spicer knew nothing about and refused to bet on. Trevor was picking his own favorites with predictable results. Spicer didn't answer the page at the courtyard of Trumbull, so Beach met with Trevor in the attorney conference room. They did their mail swap, 8 letters going out, 14 coming in.
What about Brandt and Upper Darby?
Beach asked, flipping through the envelopes.
Well, what about him? Who is he? We're ready to bust him.
I'm still searching. I've been out of town for a few days.
Get it done, okay? This guy could be the biggest fish yet.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Beach had no Vegas lines to ponder, and he didn't want to play cards. Trevor left after 20 minutes. Long after they should have eaten dinner, and long after the library should have been closed, the brethren remained locked in their little room, saying little, avoiding eye contact with one another, each staring at the walls, deep in thought. On the table were 3 letters. One was from Al's laptop, postmarked 2 days earlier in D.C. One was Al's handwritten note ending his correspondence with Ricky, postmarked from St. Louis 3 days earlier. These two conflicted sharply and were obviously written by different people. Someone was tampering with their mail. The 3rd letter had stopped them cold. They'd read it over and over, one by one, collectively, in silence, in unison. They'd picked at its corners, held it up to the light, even smelled it. There was a very faint smoky odor, same as the envelope and the note from Al to Ricky. Handwritten in ink, it was dated April 18th, at 1:20 a.m., and addressed to a woman named Carol. Dear Carol, what a great night. The debate couldn't have gone better. Thanks in part to you and the Pennsylvania Volunteers. Many thanks. Let's push harder and win this thing. We're ahead in Pennsylvania. Let's stay there. See you next week. It was signed by Aaron Lake. The card had his name personalized across the top. The handwriting was identical to that on the terse note Al had sent Ricky. The envelope was addressed to Ricky at Aladdin North, and when Beach opened it, he did not notice the 2nd card stuck behind the 1st. Then it fell on the table, and when he picked it up, he saw the name Aaron Lake engraved in black. That had happened sometime around 4 p.m., not long after Trevor had left. For almost 5 hours they'd studied the mail, and they were now almost certain that, A, the laptop letter was a fake, with the name Al signed by someone who was quite good at forging, B, the forged Al signature was virtually identical to the original Al So the forger at some point had gained access to Ricky's correspondence with Al. C. The notes to Ricky and Carol were handwritten by Aaron Lake, and D. The one to Carol had obviously been sent to them by mistake. Above all, Al Conyers was really Aaron Lake.